God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed. One of the accounts in Scripture that bothers me the most comes from the life of the prophet Jonah. It takes place right at the end of the account. Jonah, he's got one of the more famous stories in the Bible, at least one of the more famous stories in the Old Testament. God called Jonah to go and preach to the people of Nineveh, a nasty, brutal, aggressive people. What did Jonah do? Sailed the opposite direction to Tarshish. God sent a great storm. The men threw Jonah overboard. A great fish swallowed Jonah up, swam him over to Nineveh, and plopped him right there on the dry land. No, Jonah could not escape the calling of God. Jonah experienced a highly successful three-day preaching mission. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And the people repented. They humbled themselves before God. Jonah went outside of the city, hoping that God would not relent from his destruction, hoping that God would destroy the people of Nineveh. And that's where the thing that I think is just one of the most fascinating, interesting, and despicable things in all the Bible takes place. Jonah's sitting there watching the city, waiting for God to destroy it with fire from heaven. And a little plant sprouts up, sent by God. And the shade of that plant covers Jonah and brings him a little peace. And he's so happy for that plant. And then God takes it away. God sends a worm to devour the plant. The plant withers and dies. And Jonah is left without comfort from that plant. And what is Jonah's reaction, his attitude? It would be better for me to die than to live. Jonah hadn't worked for the shade of this plant. He didn't deserve it. God had simply sent it. And yet, even though he hadn't earned or deserved it, Jonah complains bitterly towards God. Jonah's story, it's not unique just to Jonah. We experience something similar in our lives today. We know what it's like to receive blessings from God, but we also know what it's like to complain about things that we haven't earned or deserved. Today, we see that God gives rich blessings to all people, both believers and unbelievers. Our attitude towards those blessings is gratitude to a God who has richly blessed us both now and forever. Hear the words of Psalm 145, verses 9 through 16. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living creature. This is God's word. Stealing is one of those sins that we just don't really engage in because it is so publicly shameful. We get that there are many sins that are wrong. We understand something like hating a neighbor or lying or gossiping. Those things are sins, yes, but they don't come with the same level of public scrutiny that something like actually taking the possessions of someone else has. It doesn't matter when you lived. Stealing has always been one of those sins that you just don't do. Think about what was the punishment throughout history for that kind of sin. Often it was death, or at the bare minimum, maybe chop off the hand that got caught in the act. We get that there's a lot of sins that are wrong, but stealing in particular, it's just one of those stigmatized sins. No one's interested in stealing. We know the shame that comes with stealing. We know what it's like to break that seventh commandment, you shall not steal. But there's actually a positive side of that commandment that I want to focus on today that Psalm 145 focuses on. It's not just about not taking what God hasn't given us, that would be theft, but it's about seeing positively that all that God has blessed me with comes from Him. It's about an attitude of gratitude towards a God who has richly provided for us here on earth. We're living in a turbulent time politically. We've just gone through one of those weeks where everything seems to be in upheaval. I don't know who you voted for, who you wanted to win the election. Maybe the person who won wasn't the person who you wanted to win. Did you display a grateful attitude towards the results of that election? Or were you afraid? Or just imagine if the person you wanted to win did win. Imagine if the other person would have won. What would your reaction have been? Would you have been satisfied and grateful to God who has provided us a government that gives us stability and religious freedom? Or would you have had a not so positive attitude and reaction? Or think about all the possessions that we have on earth. I guess I don't know the makeup of your congregation. I'm assuming there aren't any billionaires out there. Maybe I'm wrong. But I'm assuming that none of you are in that top 0.01% of income earners on the planet. How do you react when you don't have as many possessions as someone else? What is going through your heart and through your mind when you see people who have been more richly blessed in terms of earthly possessions than you have been? Does it make it difficult to give an offering to the Lord? All those offerings over the years, it could be a new car, it could be a family vacation. Are you ever a little spiteful or maybe a little jealous about the people who have more than you do, who seem to have more earthly blessings than you do? Or think about the physical health and wellness that we have been given. Maybe you see someone else, and you see how they have been blessed physically. You see those images online of celebrities who just seem to have no blemishes at all, images that have been enhanced. And you think, I just don't look like that. God doesn't seem to have given me that same perfect image. Are you jealous of someone who has been blessed with more? Or maybe you're thinking about the physical capabilities you used to have at some point in life that have just been slowly diminishing over time. I just don't feel like I used to feel. I just can't do what I used to do. How do you react? Are we truly grateful for that which God has blessed us with? So easily we become jealous or ungrateful for what God has given us. As Christians, our attitude is not dependent on the circumstances of our lives. Gratitude is the attitude that sees everything we have as a blessing from God. We see that God has richly blessed us. Gratitude is that grateful heart which, in spite of our circumstances, gives thanks to God. We know that God has provided for us our daily bread, the things that we need for life, our clothing and our shelter, food to eat, yes, even donuts. We see that God has richly provided for us, but I'll be the first to admit that throughout this last year, there have been so many times when I haven't been grateful. I haven't seen what God has given me as a blessing. Instead, I've had a negative attitude because I've been thinking about all the ways that other people have been blessed that I haven't been. I haven't been thankful for the political climate we have here in America, the safety, the political and spiritual freedoms that we have. I haven't been quite as thankful to God for all that He has provided for me, more than enough that I need for me and my family. I have seen my physical limitations, and instead of being thankful for what God has given, I've been jealous of others. I've wanted that which God hasn't given me. How do we react How do we react to this lack of gratitude? Because when I'm ungrateful, the only thing that it stirs up in my heart is anger and spite and jealousy, not positive characteristics. Well, step one to living a more grateful life comes by first and foremost focusing on the proper kingdom. We heard in verse 13 of Psalm 145, "Your kingdom, God's kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does." Instead of focusing on this kingdom, the here and now, I turn my attention to God's heavenly kingdom, the kingdom that he has provided for me. Instead of thinking about just this life, I think about the life that is to come, the life that God has promised me. God used water worth more than all of the gold in the whole earth to bring me to faith in him, the waters of my baptism. Through that water, I became connected to Jesus. I became connected to a Jesus who willingly gave up the riches of heaven, who came down to live in a decaying, dying earth. It was Jesus who died a penniless death next to criminals. In his life, he had no place to call home. In his death, he died naked next to people who certainly deserved it. It was Jesus who set aside the riches of heaven to join us, to die for us. And through his resurrection, all of those riches of heaven become my riches. They become your riches. The glorious resurrection of Jesus assures us that we are part of God's kingdom. And God's kingdom isn't like the kingdom that we have here and now, which quickly fades away. No, God's kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It's an eternal promise that we will be with him forever. Yes, we might die here on earth, but we don't remain dead. We rise. We live. We live eternally. Step one of living a more grateful life is first and foremost focusing on the proper kingdom. Step two of living a grateful life here on earth is seeing that God actually has satisfied all of my needs. God has not promised to give us everything we want, but he does provide our daily bread, that which we need for body and life. Or to put it like Psalm 145 puts it, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." We certainly ought to work hard for our possessions, for the things that we need in this life. That's the system that God has established. It's pretty rare that God just sends our daily bread floating down from heaven like he did with manna and quail. No, God has given us the tools and the wisdom to work together, to act in order to provide what we need. God doesn't often give us in that miraculous way, yet he uses us to help provide for ourselves and to provide for people in our lives. But so quickly that attitude of self-provision can become my focus. Instead of seeing God acting through me, I start to see me acting, me bringing about my own daily bread. Well, the thing about me being in charge is that so quickly it can be taken away. I can't anticipate every hurricane or earthquake or act of nature. Right now, the economy is somewhat stable, but that's certainly not a promise, certainly hasn't been throughout history. Something could happen where even all of our savings, our 401ks, were completely wiped out. And then what? If I am solely called to provide for myself, what am I to make of the possibility that all of that could be quickly taken away from me? No, instead of looking to self, I look to God, who has promised to provide for me. Often that providence is through our own actions. It is through working hard. It's through saving. It's through a retirement plan, yes. But ultimately, those things come to us not by my own hard work and dedication, but from God. Kind of the natural result of those first two steps of seeing the proper kingdom, God's kingdom, and then seeing how God satisfies my needs, it's to live a life of generosity. generosity towards people in my life. We have seen how God has richly provided for us in heaven, how he's given us a kingdom that will last forever. God has provided for me, he, even now here on earth, giving me that which I need to survive. And now my reaction is like those widows that we heard about in today's readings. People who had virtually nothing and yet gave freely and generously to the Lord. Or like those Macedonian Christians, even though they were poor, they gave generously to God. That is my response. And why? Why am I able to be generous? Why do I want to be generous? Well, it's because God has been generous to me. God has richly provided for me a Savior. He's given me Jesus, who willingly gave up everything to save me, to love me. And now I want that attitude to exude out to other people. I want them to know a God who is in charge forever and a God who is in charge today. Through our generosity, we're able to show love for other people. And sometimes we're even given an opportunity to share the hope that we have. Take those moments. Take those opportunities to be generous, both with your possessions and with the spiritual knowledge that you have. You can't control your circumstances, try as we may. Sometimes God sends a plant that provides shade and makes us comfortable. Praise God. Sometimes God sends a worm that destroys that plant and takes away our shade and makes our lives difficult and painful. Praise God for that too. We have a God who has provided for us richly. Now we can have a perspective of gratitude in our lives here and now. We know that he has given us an eternal kingdom, that which we look forward to. We know that he has given us all we need for body and soul here and now. We know that when we are generous, we are simply reflecting the generosity that he has already shown to me. So live that life of gratitude, both now and forever. Amen.